Like I say, we appreciate the privilege of being here this evening. Thankful for it. Thankful for all of you that is able to come, be in the service tonight. Just ask you to pray for us for just a few minutes. Might be able to do that, and Lord be pleased with. If you would, turn to the ninth chapter of the book of Hebrews. We're probably going to read the whole chapter. We'll start with the first verse. We're glad to have you. I'm going to read some verses before we get into that, but it's pretty much what we're going to stay around, I guess. I'm going to read about three or four verses. You can look it up later. It's out of the book of Galatians. It's out of the third chapter. It says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Ninth chapter, Hebrews. Probably get by without reading some of this, but it's part of the chapter, so you just bear with us. Starting with the first verse, it says, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censers and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of a necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin, unto salvation. Now, maybe correctly reading, that's reading the ninth chapter of the book of Hebrews. Now, I know that Paul took that of the earthly sanctuary, and he brought it out step by step, in that of which the high priest had to do concerning the tabernacle. I'm not going to get into all of this, but it's pretty important when you think about what they had set up
from year to year the sacrifices that they had set up and how that it atoned. The blood of bulls and goats and the sprinkling of heifers and that of the ashes. And he said, those things, my friend, was for the flesh. Those things would atone once every year. Once a year, and it only lasts a year. That year past is no good if you didn't bring a sacrifice. I'm not going to get into all that. I want you to know tonight, brethren, that Christ offered himself once. The Bible says, I'm going to reread a couple of three verses here if I can find them right fast. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience? Now, he wasn't talking about the flesh. He said, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. It said, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Brethren, if he's purged your conscience from dead sins, my friend, then you have access to an eternal inheritance. Yes, you do. Now, I want to talk just a little bit, my friend. The blood. I'm not going to get on the blood. I preached on that here a while back, and I used some of this scripture. I remember that. But I want to talk to you tonight, my friend, about once for all. Once. For all. Bible says, and it says it here, that my friend, if it was like that under the Old Testament, then Christ would have offered himself often, over and over and over again. But brethren, it's not necessary tonight. My friend, he offered himself once. Yes, sir, for all. Bible says that. That's not what I say. Brethren, that's what the Bible teaches. Brethren, once. Bible says here, I read it in your hearing, that he offered himself once in the end of this world. Brethren, not going to. Brethren, he offered himself. He's already been offered. Yes, sir. You go on read in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, my friend, and you'll find, Matt, that there is no more sacrifice for sin. No more. Brethren, there's not anything you can bring to God that'll take care of your sins tonight. Oh, preacher, it's not what you bring, brethren, but it's what you come in. Bible says that if you'll come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, he'll in no wise cast you out. He'll not turn you away. Brethren, there's a lot of things today. They may be things, my friend, that has to be done and redone and redone and revisited and added to. Brethren, when Jesus Christ gave his life, thank God it was enough tonight. It was enough. once for all. Once for all. Brethren, and I'm going to say this, and that I believe this, my friend, and I'm going to preach this. My friend, it was once for all. And brethren, if you ever get it, you'll get it once, my friend. Preacher, I don't know about that. Brethren, you don't get it and lose it. There's a lot of folks, my friend, that you say, preacher, you're on dangerous ground. Yeah, I know I am. I ain't going to worry about it. Brethren, I know what the Bible teaches. Brethren, if you've ever been born again, thank God it's sufficient tonight. Yes, sir. There's some things you say, preacher, you know what happens a lot of times, and I'm just going to give you my what for's. Brethren, I don't believe a man, woman, boy, or girl's ever been saved. My friend going to go out here and live like the devil. You hear me? You say, preacher, I know there's them, my friend, that done this and that. I got news for you. Brethren, Paul said, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Things change. You get saved, my friend, things change. I don't care how old you was. I don't care how young you was. Brethren, if you say, preacher, I don't know that I can have all that. My friend, you get born again, they will be a change. There'll be something different in your life. And brethren, it's for life tonight. Yes, sir. Once he died, he's not going to come die again. They got no song out, my friend says, please search the book again. Folks, they ain't going to be no second search. No, sir. I know tonight you say, preacher, you're on ground that that's just dangerous. It doesn't matter. My friend, there's something eternal when a man gets saved. I read it to you. Having their conscience. Did you know that even the priests themselves, you can go and read it. It's in the 10th chapter. First two or three verses. It says that when they brought those sacrifices under the law, that it made none of them perfect as concerning the conscience. It never cleared the slate. But brethren, Christ came and he cleared the slate. He paid for sin. Yes, sir, he paid for sin. I want you to hear that. You say, preacher, y'all count on a one-time experience. My friend, if it's the real thing, amen. Amen. Yes, sir. I ain't never robbed. I ain't never been back. Ask God to save me. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm going to shout, thank God I believe it tonight. Brethren, I've had part of the first resurrection. Bible says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. on such, the second death hath no power to none. Woo! Brethren, he died once. Preacher, I see people and I hear people, they say they got lost again. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of folks don't know what it is to be saved. Huh? I'm just going to be plain about it. My friend, just because you went down to the altar and the rest of them went, you got up and told that you're saved, that don't make you saved tonight. They better have been something happened. Yes, sir. They better been, my friend, that he come in. And brethren, when he comes in, the conscience is made perfect. Glory. You know, the Bible says, it's pretty plain. It talks about a man, my friend, that had his house empty, swept, and garnished. Yes, sir. Drove them out. But it didn't bring one in. I like that old knob, my friend. You go, might not be a good illustration, but you go to the bathroom sometimes and they'll have doors on them and you look on there and they'll say, occupied. Glory! Hallelujah! Woo! Brother, there ain't no seven devils coming back in while the God occupies. Woo! No, sir. Preacher, I don't believe that. I got news for you. If Jesus is in the house, my friend, the devil don't have no room. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I don't care how much you say the devil made you do it. Something ain't right with that picture. Devil, don't live there no more. Yeah, y'all think I'm crazy. I don't care. Brethren, I heard an old preacher say years ago, brethren, people get up testifying, talking about how much the devil had wrote them. He said, I couldn't help it. He said, I told them at the end of the service, he said, they ought to quit furnishing them a saddle. Glory, hallelujah. He ain't welcome. Thank God in the house tonight. Oh, preacher, you're missing the mark. I got news for you. When Jesus moves in, the devil leaves. Yes, sir. He ain't got no back closet either. We ain't built him no room on the porch. We ain't even built him a house to live in. He's gone. Gone. Absolutely gone. He couldn't do nothing with Jesus. Thank God he still can't do nothing with him. You go and read in the scripture, my friend, there's three things that Jesus came into this world for. He come into this world for sin, for righteousness, and for judgment. I go find it, it'd take me a minute, but I know which side of the page it's on. Yes, sir. Think about it. Preacher, why he come for them three things: sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, I'm not going to get into all of that, my friend, but I'm going to tell you what the book says. He said he come for judgment, for the prince of this world has been judged. Brethren, he's judged, and he ain't got no more power. Y'all ain't going to like that. And I'm going to tell you something. I know what I'm talking about. Won't be but a few weeks from now, some of you will get up and say how the devil's rode you. What a hard time the devil's give you. Yes, sir. Can I ask you a question? What kind of keys did Jesus get from the devil? Huh? He got some. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Brethren, somebody got the keys. Brother, they in charge. Woo! Woo! Glory! Glory! Hallelujah! You say, preacher, the devil gonna be on you before you get home. He might be around, but he ain't gonna be on me. Let me rephrase that. Same old preacher said, he said, now me, he said, me and the devil, he said, the devil get me. He said, but me and Jesus and the devil, he said, he'll flee. He'll have to run. He has to go. Yes, sir. Once in the end of the world, brethren, he ain't talking about after a while. He's already paid that price. Yes, sir. The price for your soul, my friend, has already been paid. Yes, sir. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care whether you like it or not. My friend, I'm just going to be as plain as I know how to be. Brethren, when God looks at me and you, thank God he looks through his Son, Jesus Christ, and Christ says, Father, this one's mine. Woo! Woo! Done purchased him. You ever read in the scripture where you're bought with a price? What does that mean? What does that mean? How many of you, thank God, I got news for you. I go down to the store, my friend, and I buy something. I take it home. Woo! 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 Glory, hallelujah! Don't care whether you like it or not. Thank God it's mine. I purchased it. Glory. I'll get in trouble one of these days. I buy some things and they... Some of them said, you want your receipt. I said, if you ain't going to lock me up, I don't want it. I'm just going to have to throw it away. You can put it in your trash. You know why I feel that way, Robert? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I purchased it. Glory! Glory! Hallelujah! Woo! I don't have to worry. Thank God about it. I redeemed it, my friend. I paid the price. Yes, sir. Christ hung on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know who he's talking about? All them sinners. All them sinners. Preacher, you think God loves sinners? He loved you, didn't he? I don't know about you, but I became a sinner. Yes, sir. Before I got saved, I become a sinner. They might not have been a lot of things, my friend, that I had done. And then again, there's a whole lot of things that I did do. But there's a lot of things I didn't do. Wasn't guilty of. Do you know what I was guilty of? I was guilty, my friend, by association with sin. Think about it. Brethren, when you come to the knowledge of the truth, you become a sinner, my friend. You come to the age of accountability, that's exactly what you come to. You become a sinner. It might be for a few minutes, it might be for a few years, it might be for 100 years. But thank God you'll be a sinner until God saves you. Yes, you will. You can be the most prominent thing going. Yes, sir. You can be a good moral person and be a sinner. You know that? I've seen some of them, thank God, that they acted better than a lot of Christians. Yes, sir. But they're lost. They're lost, yeah. Their testimony, they'd tell you they're lost. 75-year-old man, I've told it before, I'll tell it real quick. I ain't going to get in all the details. I've pastored the second church ever, pastored him and his wife, sat on the back bench. My friend, they was regular as any person we had. That ain't all. That ain't all. When there's something to be done around the church, my friend, they was there. They was there. I'd ask some of them around, and I got all kind of answers. I did. Some of them said, well, we believe he got saved, but he's better than a lot of members we got. I said, that don't make him saved. I found out best thing to do is just ask him. So I asked him, my friend. He said, no. He said, I'm lost. Huh? Lost. His own words. A lot of things I found out down through the days, my friend, that he had done. He had been in the altar. My friend, revival after revival after revival. Never did get satisfied. My friend, he was so good around the community, some of them told him he was all right. Listen. But he told me that day, he said, I was lost. That's what he said, Rick. I am lost. Lost. He knowed it. Everybody else might have been guessing, but thank God, he knowed he is lost. I'm going to tell you something, my friend, in a lost state, it ain't a good state when you realize you're lost. It ain't a good state. 75-year-old on a hospital bed, deacon was in there with him just talking to him. Just talking to him. He asked him, he said, Clem, said, don't you think it's about time that you got saved? Huh? Said, old Clem, bowed his head right there in that bed. They prayed. And old Clem told the story. He told it. He said, Lord, save me. Huh? Lord, save me. You know what his testimony was? After a while, He got back able to come to church. He wanted to be baptized. He got to do all that. He did. But his own testimony, he said, I didn't know it was so easy. Yeah. I didn't know it was so easy. You know what happens a lot of times? People's trying, and they're trying, and they're trying, my friend, when they ought to just let him come in. Glory to God. He'll save you tonight. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Preacher, I could get on some other things, but I'm not going to. This going to be the message. Once for all. Once for all. Thank God I got all my bags, all my eggs in one bag. Yes, I do. Every one of them. I ain't banking on nothing else. No, sir. Brother, we sang a song, He Set Me Free. Thank God I remember the night He set me free, Leroy. I do. I remember the night. You say, preacher, I don't like that kind of preaching. It gives people leeway to do things. No, it don't. No, it don't. Lord didn't save Randy for Randy to live like Randy wanted to. Purchase. Go back to the purchase. Go back to the redeemed. Yes, sir. You can do what you want to with it. You know what? It's yours. It's yours. There's a lot of folks, my friend, depending on God to be merciful, my friend, when he's already been merciful. They're depending, my friend, on some of their works, my friend, to get them there. You go and read that third chapter of the book of Galatians. That's what Paul was having to deal with. He said, you've received the Holy Spirit. He said, now you're going to work, my friend, that it might be okay. That's what he told them. It don't work that way. It don't work that way. Now, if we want to get on works, he said, I'll create a good work in you. I'll create a good work. Brethren, there's some things. Hey, I'm not standing here. I'm no idiot. My friend, I'm not standing here and telling you that God saved you, my friend. You can just lay down on him and just do whatever you want to. You're going to go to heaven. My friend, I ain't preaching that. I believe in eternal security. I do. I believe, my friend, if you've been born again, thank God it's good enough. I believe that. But I also believe, my friend, that an apple tree is an apple tree. And it don't change to no peach. No, it don't. No, it don't. No, sir, you may graft a peach branch in it. You may get one to grow on it. But folks, an apple tree is an apple tree. Oh, preacher, I don't like that now. I don't like that. There's going to be some fruit that you bid there. You know what? Didn't them old boys bring some fruit back and they scattered out over in Canaan land? They spied it out. Thank God they liked it so much. We're going to bring some fruit home. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. Evidence. Evidence. Once for all. Christ ain't coming back, my friend, to give himself again. Go to the sixth chapter of the book of Hebrews. Brethren, and it'll tell you that you'll crucify. He said, if that was to happen, you crucify Christ afresh. Over and over and over again. It ain't, that ain't the way it is. Once.